turning your Bibles to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3, found on page 858 of the Church Bible. Daniel chapter 3, listen to the word of God. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width six cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And so the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." And so at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre in symphony, with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore at that time certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony, with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and so they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men, on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a rubbish heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Amen. Please turn back in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. The younger people will be familiar with wearing a uniform each day to school, but I'm sure most of you remember wearing the school uniform. And part of your uniform is the school tie. And even with a uniform, there is still a fashion within school of how you wear your school tie. In my day, the knot was very thin, and I even remember boys tucking in the wide part of their tie into the shirt and just showing the narrow part of the tie. Now the fashion seems to have changed. It seems to be a fat knot with a short, wide end showing. But the pressure is so intense within school that everyone conforms to prevent being noticed. And this pressure to conform is still present, whether it's at school, or whether it's at work, or even with people that you enjoy, your friends and your family. We want to fit in. And so much so that experiments have been done that prove that it's built within us to go along with the majority. One experiment involves three people who were shown three lines on a screen, and they were asked to say which line was the longest. Now, unknown to one of the volunteers, the other two were actually scientists. And so these three supposable volunteers were asked which were the longest lines. The answer was completely obvious. But then after a few rounds, the two scientists started to choose the shortest lines as being the longest line. And at first, the real volunteer would protest and point out the truth. But quickly, he would go along with the opinion of the other two, choosing to believe what he knew was false. As a result of pressure, we're quick to conform with everyone else. And this morning, we're going to look at three young men who were forced to go with a crowd, but they refused, preferring to stand with God than anything the world could offer. And likewise for us, are we willing to make a stand when the heat is on? And so firstly, let us consider the power of the pressure we face. The power of the pressure we face. Nebuchadnezzar was in charge of a vast empire made up of a variety of people, made from different languages, cultures, and religions, races. And there was much instability. And so he needed a way to unite them so that he could be sure of their loyalty. He needed to create something that they could all feel akin to. And we still see this today. In the USA, they have their flag, the stars and the stripes, that they fly proudly. The UK has the monarchy, which received respect and honor from across the world. Well, Nebuchadnezzar needed some kind of symbol to unite his people. Now, where did he get this idea from? Well, most likely from the vision that he had back in chapter 2. Remember how he had a vision of a statue made up of a variety of different materials. A gold head, a silver chest, a bronze body, and legs made of iron and clay. And then it was destroyed with that small stone that later turned into a mountain. Well, Daniel told him that this was the future. One kingdom would follow another kingdom until a supernatural kingdom would come, which would be stronger than all. And this is a prophecy of Christ and his kingdom, which would last to all eternity. And so Nebuchadnezzar, instead of accepting this future prophecy that his kingdom would be destroyed, he went to lengths to make sure that this wouldn't happen. And so instead of a statue made just of a gold head, he made a statue that was made entirely of gold, or covered entirely with gold, which was 90 feet high, 9 feet wide. So as high as the Titanic Museum in Belfast. And he set it up on the plain of Jura, which is thought to be near the city of Babylon. And he required the whole civil service to attend this dedication service. And we read of a list of people in a variety of capacities who attended this ceremony. And the list would include Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they would pay their respect by bowing down, which would be seen as loyalty to the state. And there's a long list of musical instruments, helping us to see this event was like the opening ceremony of the Olympics, with all the pomp and prestige that the hosting country, of the hosting country, trying to prove how great they are. Well, this is what Nebuchadnezzar wanted. Now, they didn't have to give up worshipping their own god by worshipping this statue. But as long as they bowed down before it, that was all they had to do. If they would not bow down, well, the consequences are described in verse 6. They will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Now, rarely are we being asked to renounce our faith in God. But like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're often asked to do something which we know is not right. It does not prevent us from worshipping God, but it does prevent us from obeying him completely. For Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to worship the statue would have been breaking the second commandment. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Now, none of us have to worry about bowing down to a 90-foot statue. But we do face other pressures, and this often makes making decisions very difficult. For the most part, the pressures we face come from those around us, our friends, our family, our work colleagues. And therefore, it's important to have friends who will encourage us to do the right thing, friends who will not encourage us to do what is wrong. And if your friends are continually getting into trouble, if they don't have integrity, if they have a bad attitude, well, you will be tempted to behave in the same way. Young people especially, if there are kids at school who are always getting into trouble, well, you should be wary of them. Why is it that young people get involved in drugs or alcohol or smoking? Well, I don't think there's a teenager that simply starts drinking or smoking or taking drugs of their own accord. Instead, they're with a bad crowd that encourages them to take that first smoke or that first drink. And that's how it begins. And adults, we're not much better. We feel the pressure of other people, and sadly, we conform to fit in. If you find that you're in a circle of friends that only encourages you to dishonor God, ask why. Why are you in this company If you're a Christian, why would you enjoy spending time with these people? I encourage you to sin. Instead, find like-minded people who will encourage you and support you in your faith. Look at our passage. These men were not alone. Shadrach had Meshach and Abednego. Meshach had Shadrach and Abednego. And Abednego had Shadrach and Meshach. They found support in each other, even in this difficult circumstance. And as Christians, it's so important that we have friends who will help support us and encourage us to make a stand. And that's why the church is so important, to spend time praying and studying the Bible with others who face the same pressure as ourselves. We can help each other by supporting each other when we face pressures from all around. So secondly, we need to make an uncompromising stand. We need to make an uncompromising stand. I'm sure we've all seen footage of the Nuremberg rallies. Hitler's propaganda minister named Goebbels would twist Nazi ideology with an appearance of religion. He organized these torchlight Nuremberg rallies with giant swastikas that were draped over the auditorium. The men were dressed in immaculate uniforms. There would be a platform of all the important people. There was adrenaline-pumping music from the marching bands and the synchronized raising of arms in the air. Hitler would arrive late, so to heighten people's expectancy. And he would then rally the crowd with his dramatic speeches, filling people's minds of Germany being stabbed in the back after World War I by the Jews and by the communists. There was a deliberate religious feel to those meetings, and it had the effect of turning a whole crowd of people into functioning as one. And that's happening on the plain of Jura here. People are being enticed and intimidated into this worship of this gold image. But this was idolatry for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to bow down to this idol. Remember, it was idolatry that brought the Jews into captivity in Babylon in the first place. God destroyed Judah because his people kept worshipping idols. And so when everyone bowed down, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood tall. And you can imagine this huge plain with thousands of people bowing down and these three men standing tall in the middle for all to see. They knew what it would cost them. They would know of the fiery furnace that was prepared for all who wouldn't bow down. But they also acknowledged the Lord God, and they would not disobey him. And their response was a simple trust in God. They would leave the consequences to him. And this is evident in their reply to Nebuchadnezzar in verses 16 and 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." These are strong words of faith that these three young men have said. They are completely confident of God in this desperate situation. They recognize that he is the most powerful one, that he is greater than any earthly king, greater than Nebuchadnezzar. But they also submitted to God's will, meaning they knew God was all-wise, and even though he could save them, that wouldn't necessarily mean that he would save them. They believe that whatever he does is for the best for them. And this is what trust in God looks like. They believe he can save them, but they also recognize that it might not be part of his will to save them. And likewise for us, when we put our trust in God, when we trust him, that does not mean that God does our bidding. He may spare us pain, or he may use that pain to strengthen our faith. And so we have to trust God in every predicament we face. Can you imagine what it must have been like standing before this tyrant of a leader? We read of him as being furious with rage in verse 13. Verse 19, he commands the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than normal. Now, this was irrational behavior. This man had lost control. Nebuchadnezzar was a man who had control over hundreds, thousands, millions of people. No one ever said no to him. No one stood up against him. But here were 3 young Jewish men who gave their allegiance to the invisible God. Nebuchadnezzar was powerless before them. No threat would make them conform. Today, there are many who have to stand up before those who hate God. The persecuted church, which is across the world, is full of people who have to make an uncompromising stand. They are being told to conform, or we will punish you. And likewise, we are facing pressure to conform, or we will be punished. The punishment may not be as severe, but it is still as real. We looked earlier that when you have a good circle of friends, that will often prevent you from even getting into situations where you're tempted to compromise. But what happens when you do find yourself in a situation where your friends let you down, when they tempt you to sin, or you're assigned to work in a team, and so you have to work with a bunch of people that you wouldn't normally spend time with? Or you're away on a business trip or a school trip, and so with a variety of people, and so you're tempted to join in with everything that's going on. It's difficult. You can't think it will simply never happen to me. How can we be strong against all this pressure? Well, for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had a clear vision of God. He is greater than anything. And so they trusted in him, even when they faced death. And likewise, we need that same vision of God so we can stand. It's more important to us that we honor God than making those around us happy by giving in to their pressure. So young people, and adults too, when you're faced with the pressure to drink alcohol to excess, or smoke, or do drugs, be strong with God's help and say no. Why do people do drugs or get drunk or smoke? Well, they think it looks cool. But it doesn't. It's expensive. It leads to a variety of health problems. And many people become addicted, meaning they depend on these drugs or the alcohol or smoking to function. There's a comedy on TV called The Big Bang Theory. And one of the characters there is called Raj. And he is unable to talk to girls unless he is drinking alcohol. And for many people, this is sadly true. They lack confidence, and so they need some substance to alter them, to enable them to function in a variety of situations. So sometimes they need confidence, and so they drink alcohol. Or they need to calm down, and so they use cigarettes. But we don't need these harmful substances to be able to cope with basic life skills. We can find our help in God, and he will help you grow in your ability to cope with whatever situation you face. There is pressure today in regards to romantic relationships. The Bible is very clear that we're not to go out with unbelievers, that we're not to have sex until marriage. And so we have to say no, and that will mean breaking off relationships if it's unbiblical. And that is hard. We live in a society that is obsessed with casual dating, and some people are not happy unless they have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and so they will go out with anyone to be in a relationship. No, even in going out, we are to please God. And that includes who we go out with and what we do when we go out with them. Another pressure we face is self-image. Millions of pounds is being spent on makeup, crash diets, gym memberships. Now, it's not that Christians are to be unfashionable or not care at all about our image, but at the same time, it should not become an idol that controls us. We find our contentment in Christ. We are happy with how he has made us. We don't need to give in to the pressure to feel confident about ourselves. There are a host of pressures that we are facing. But whatever it is, we have to be strong to stand up against them, to know that we serve God, who is greater, who is more important than any of these pressures. We need a clear vision that we serve a great God. One of the techniques taught by the SAS to withstand interrogation is to imagine your interrogator in their underwear. And this will make them less intimidating. Well, when we face someone who is intimidating us because of the stand that we are taking, and even if they're very impressive or very powerful people, like the boss at work, the captain of the rugby team, the bully, well, we're to see them in their spiritual underwear. We are to see them against the backdrop of Almighty God, who one day will interrogate them. No longer are they intimidating. Instead, they are nothing before God. And so be ready to make a stand. And then finally, flames of fellowship. Flames of fellowship. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we've just read, have been thrown into the fiery furnace. Imagine what that must have been like. They must have braced themselves for the pain. But something spectacular happens. God protects them from the flames. They are not burnt up. And he not only protects them, he is with them. Verse 24, Nebuchadnezzar leaps to his feet in amazement, for he sees four men in the furnace, not three, and he describes a fourth like a son of the gods. Meaning this was Christ himself who was with them in the fire. There are a number of instances when Christ appears in the Old Testament, often called the angel of the Lord. And so this is not unheard of, but it is an amazing privilege for these three men to be with God. If they had cracked, if they had compromised, well, they would never have met Christ in the flames. And at this momentous event, where Nebuchadnezzar was hoping to unify his people with the worship of the statue, a symbol of his greatness, well, the event is overtaken by an even greater event, where God is put on center stage. For he rescued his servants from the fiery furnace. Not even a single head or hair of their head was singed. The result is a complete turnaround. From being sentenced to death, they are being promoted and given places of prominence in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar would testify, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command, willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." Even Nebuchadnezzar recognized how brave it is for them to stand up before the king. But for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the highlight for them would not be this praise from Nebuchadnezzar. Instead, it was the opportunity to be with God in the flames. And so when you stand up to the pressures all around you, you have the opportunity to know God better. So take the stand. Have the courage to do the right thing. Don't fear what might happen, what friendships you might lose. Instead, know that you will enjoy a richer fellowship with God. Do not be afraid as to whether you will make it or not. You are to trust that Jesus will keep his word, that in the fiery furnace of testing that we face, the fourth figure will be there with us. For he has said so, "I will be with you to the very end of the age." And this is a promise that Christ has given all of his people. If you're not one of his people, then the promise does not apply. Christ will not be with you. And in that fiery furnace, you are alone. There is no one to rescue you. And that fire will be an eternal fire in hell. And so trust in Christ. He is the Savior. He is the rescuer. The only one who can save us from sin and death. He is the only one who can be a true friend and support when we face trials. God is with his people, even in difficult circumstances. And it's in the midst of the difficulty that he is with them. Do you want to know Christ better? Well, stand for him when the pressures come along, and he will be with you. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your encouragement. For Lord, we do face many pressures, many trials. Lord, help us to have this clear vision of who you are, the great God, the powerful God, the almighty God. And Lord, that we would put you first. Forgive us, Lord, when we give in to our pressures, when we look to them as idols in our lives, that we would not do so. Instead, that we would be willing to make the stand, that you would give us the strength to do so. Lord, that we would remember that promise that you are with us to the final end. And so, Lord, that we would look to you in the midst of it. Lord, we pray that you would surround us by friends and family who would support us. Lord, we thank you for our church family. And Lord, that as a church family, we would seek to encourage one another in whatever we are going through. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.